My message this evening will be far different than the one this morning. In this morning's message, I had quite a number of illustrations. There will not be any illustrations like that this evening. But tonight I want to talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ as our high priest and intercessor. Turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24. Hebrews 9:24. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now turn, please, to Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. Romans 8, 34. Who is he that condemneth? Shall Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? One more passage of Scripture, Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. There are many Christians who are not very close to the Lord, yet we cannot doubt that they are saved people, who do not pray very much, and thus they do not have the opportunity of coming to the throne of grace to obtain this mercy and help in a time of need, as we who know the Lord as our own personal Savior do. Thus they lose the spiritual benefit of coming to a Savior who is interested in us and in our needs and in our prayers while we go through this lifetime down here. That is the reason why there are so many people who spiritualize the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. If our Lord Jesus Christ did not ascend up into heaven, as the book of Acts tells us, and went into the heavenlies in his body, therefore it tends to reason that he's not sitting on the right hand of throne in a body to intercede for us, and he's not going to come back in a body. But we know that that is not true. But there are many people who just do not believe in the bodily resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But Paul tells us that you cannot be saved if you do not believe in that, because that truth is part of the gospel. Now there are many scriptures which refer to the fact of the intercession of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we read some of them just a few minutes ago. One who is at the right hand of the Father in heaven, there to intercede for us. Now, as I mentioned before, the disciples saw him ascend up into heaven in the body, the resurrected body that they had seen. The scriptures tell us that he walked upon the earth for 40 days. As far as we know, no unsaved people saw him, but the disciples saw him, and he came and spent time with them and then departed and came back again. And then, as I mentioned before, the scripture says that he ascended up into heaven in a body. Now, two angels who saw the Lord ascend up into heaven said that he's going to come again in like manner. Now, this is a blessed truth. This is the truth of the blessed hope of the church, that we are looking for our Lord to return to take us to be with him. So therefore, we ought to occupy our attention with these thoughts of what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing for us now. Turn, if you will, please, to Colossians chapter 3. And in verses 1 to 4, we read this. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For we are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So this tells us that while we are living here upon the earth, we are to live for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are to set our affection on things above. But what are the things above that we are to set our affection upon? Upon our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who is risen, who is coming again. And he tells us that we are seen as risen with him also. So now we are privileged, through the revealed Word of God, to look into heaven and gaze upon the Lord Jesus Christ, upon his throne in heaven, his mediatorial throne. Now, what is Jesus doing now? And where is Jesus now? Well, the chorus of that hymn that we sing goes like this. What did he do? He died for you. Where is he now? In heaven, interceding. That tells it all, does it not? So therefore, Christ, our high priest, we see, is in heaven. He's now carrying on the work of a priest which he started here upon the earth when he was here upon the earth. And so it's a continuation of that work which he started here that he's performing and carrying on in heaven. As a priest, the Lord Jesus Christ became also the sacrifice and offered himself upon the cross of Calvary for the forgiveness of sins. As a priest, now he sits at the right hand of God in heaven on the throne for him, interceding for us. What he began actively on the earth, he's continuing actively up in heaven. Now, intercession was one of the chief works of the high priest upon the earth when he was here. Not the Lord Jesus Christ I'm talking about now, but I'm talking about the Old Testament high priest. One of his great efforts and works was that of intercession. But now the scriptures tell us that the Lord Jesus Christ is a richer, higher, and more nobler high priest than any of the Jewish high priests who served in the Old Testament. So now we're ready to, as it were, step within the veil to gaze upon our great high priest and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and study his mode of intercession for us. How is he interceding for us up there? Well, the Jewish high priest on the Day of Atonement, after the sacrifice had been slain, passed through the veil of the first sanctuary into the holies of holies. And there he made intercession for the people. Now, that intercession which he made, you can read in the scriptures this, and a lot of people don't understand that. That intercession was for sins of ignorance which the people committed. When they committed sins that they knew they committed them, they were supposed to confess those sins. They were supposed to bring a sacrifice on the altar to God. But there were some sins that maybe they committed in ignorance and didn't realize that they were committing them, but they were still sins. And so the high priest went in once a year into the holies of holies to sprinkle the blood that those sins committed in ignorance might be forgiven the people. And so therefore he made intercession for the people, He sprinkled the blood upon the mercy seat. He presented the burning incense before the Shekinah glory, which was the symbol of divine presence. Now these acts were accomplished in silence. The high priest did not speak to God. Of course, in the Holies of Holies, he could not speak to anyone. But these acts were accomplished in silence. And Jesus is said to have entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Notice that word appear. It doesn't say that he's saying anything to God or speaking to God, but he's appearing in the presence of God for us. So Christ's intercessory work is carried on in heaven by significant acts that he performs, significant acts that he does, and not by vocal petitions that he brings before the Father in heaven. In the Trinity, each one of the Trinity knows the mind of the other. And so therefore, it's not necessary that the Lord Jesus Christ brings every petition vocally before the Father. Just think of what it would mean if every one of us here was praying at the same time and bringing our petitions and our prayers, our thanksgivings, and our requests before the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. He would be able, well, he could as being God, but he wouldn't necessarily in the vocal way bring all those petitions before God. But God knows the mind of Christ, and Christ knows the mind of God. And so therefore, our petitions are brought before God in silence and in that way. Now let's think about the man at God's right hand as the incarnate Jesus. Jesus sits at the Father's right hand. He's on the mediatorial throne. He's the incarnate God. Now, what is the reason for the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or what is the reason for the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, shall I say? Well, this we discover as we look at the connection between the atonement of Christ on the earth and his intercession in heaven. The effecting of the atonement required the union of two natures. He's the God-man, the man Christ Jesus. And the scriptures tell us that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And so therefore, he knows our nature. He knows all about us because he was here upon the earth and he shared in our nature. So therefore, he is in sympathy with us as we walk down here in the trials of this life. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ hung upon Calvary's cross, the last words which he spoke were, "It is finished." And then he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." But he said, "It is finished." What was finished? The work that he came to accomplish upon the earth, to die upon the cross for our sins. The Bible says, "Once at the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." But now the Lord Jesus Christ appears in heaven, and his appearance in heaven has an intercessory effect in heaven as he brings our petitions before God in heaven. Now, to be qualified to be the intercessor that he is, he needs to have both natures. And so he is man and he is God at the same time. Because Christ appears in his human nature and in his human body, although it's a glorified body, his intercession is available for all who come to God through him. Now, this is illustrated in the ministry of Aaron in the Old Testament. Aaron appeared daily before Jehovah in intercession for the people of Israel. There were two sets of the names of the people of Israel, engraved one set upon ouches of gold, and the other set upon two plates. The one with the ouches of gold was borne over his heart. The other two were borne upon his shoulders and joined together with a chain. And thus as he came before God, he's carrying the names of the tribes of the people of Israel as he comes before God in intercession for them. Now, these were united with, as I said, with a chain of gold, and thus attired he comes before God daily in interceding for the people. Now, this is very significant of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's in the Father's presence, where he appears for us at all times. Like the Father, he never slumbers nor sleeps. There's not a time when his intercessory work is not going on. He continues to be available to us when we come before him. He represents the saints in our fallen nature. Not that he's fallen, but he represents us. And the names of all of the nations, as it were, are carried by him before the Father in heaven. He has the sympathy of a brother and the influence of a son. And let me say this, that Mary has no influence upon him. There are a lot of people in this world who believe that the Virgin Mary can bring the petitions that people bring to her Son in heaven. There's nothing farther from the truth than that. Some years ago, we were out in Missouri and we went to the place where the dolls were made. Precious Moments. And we bought a doll out there, or a figurine, brought it home. And since we are on the mailing list now, we get a little booklet from them twice a year. And I was amazed to see what came out this year. Sam Butcher, you know, is a fine Christian man. He's the one who makes the designs, and Invesco, I think it is the one who makes the figurines and the dolls. In the catalog, they had one that amazed me. I could not believe that Sam Butcher would have been one who made this or figured this out. Here is a little cradle, and the Lord Jesus as a baby is in that, and there's a halo of gold around him. But Mary is there too, you know, and that's supposed to speak for his divinity. And Mary is there too, and there's a halo of gold around Mary. I'd rather think that maybe Invesco added that. I hope that's true, that Sam Butcher never put that on, but that they added that to show that Mary is divine. And so therefore, there would be a certain constituency of people who would be glad to buy that figurine. Mary has no influence with the Lord Jesus Christ now. She has no part in intercession, as wonderful as she was. But the Lord Jesus Christ is our high priest and setter and intercessor. Now the man at God's right hand was also a sacrificial victim. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest made intercession for the people. He took with him a portion of blood of the sacrificial victim, and he sprinkled upon the mercy seat seven times. The sacrificial victim had been slain, gave its life, never to rise again. But our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom all those things in the Old Testament were but types and foreshadows, died as the sacrificial victim for us. But he rose, and he lives forever. And he is the only sacrificial victim that died. And I don't want to use that word victim. There ought to be a better word than that. He gave his life a ransom for us. He was not a victim on his part, though he was on the part of Pilate and the Jews. But he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And he is the only founder of any religious belief who is still living today. Where's Buddha? He's in the grave. Zoroaster, Muhammad, he's in the grave. People revere them and follow them, but they're following a dead God. We are following a living Savior. Now, the marks of Calvary are still upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible says that when he comes back in glory, not when he comes for the church, but when he comes back in glory, the Jews are going to look upon him and see those wounds and realize that that one whom they crucified was their Messiah. Now, remember Stephen? This is proof that the Lord Jesus Christ is still in heaven interceding for us, if you don't want to believe in the Scriptures, and I know we all do. But Stephen, when he was about to be martyred, looked up into heaven, and he saw the Son of God standing at the right hand of the throne of God. And somebody has said that he stood up to receive the first Christian martyr into heaven. And then remember Thomas. After the resurrection, Jesus appeared to the disciples, but Thomas was absent. We do not know why he was absent. But he appeared, Jesus did, finally to Thomas. And he had known what Thomas had said. I do not believe my Lord is risen from the dead unless I can see his wounds and see that he was crucified for us. And when Jesus saw him, he said, Thomas, here are my wounds. Put your hand into my side, and you'll know that's where the spear went in, when the blood and water came out. And Thomas cries out, my Lord and my God. And then when the Lord Jesus Christ walked on the road to Emmaus with those disciples, and they finally came to Emmaus, and it was getting to be nightfall, they asked him to come in and abide with them during the night. And he went in. And they got out the bread because they were going to have a little meal. And he picked up the bread and broke it and blessed it. And when he did that, they saw the wounds in his hand. And they knew that he was the blessed Savior. So those wounds are still in his hand today. His glory doesn't conceal those wounds, but they proclaim the efficacy of him as our Savior indeed. Now, as I mentioned before, the man at God's right hand is also a risen Savior. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Under the Old Testament economy, no victim ever rose, as I mentioned before, from the dead. No Jewish priest ever lived forever. We read in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 23 these words. Hebrews 7, 23. And they truly were many priests because they were not allowed to continue by reason of death. But he is the only priest who continued in his priesthood. They all died, and all were replaced by somebody else. Christ lives forever. Now, the law declared that the penalty for sin was death. But the same law also declared that the person who kept the law would live forever. They would not die. But there never lived a person upon the face of this earth who was able to keep the law in its entirety except the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He was the only one who could fulfill the law. Thus he became the only one who could be a faithful and a perfect intercessor. No one else could intercede. Mary couldn't intercede. She was a sinner just like the rest of us. She was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. There was no immaculate conception for her and all that business. A lovely lady doing the will of God, but not what one church ascribes to her. Now this is the heart of the gospel. Though Jesus possessed immortality, he voluntarily surrendered his life like a victim. He now lives. Hebrews 7:22-25 tells us this. And they truly were many priests because they were not allowed to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Isn't that a word of encouragement for us this evening? To know that we have such a Savior as that, and that we can come before the throne of God through him. That's the heart of the gospel. The Lord gave himself for us. Now the last thought. The man at God's right hand appears in the presence of divine holiness. I mentioned this morning about Adam. When he sinned, he fled from the presence of God. And all men who know anything about God and his holiness flee from his presence. But Jesus is at the right hand of God in the presence of holiness because he is holy himself. All sinful people, awakened by divine holiness, flee from the presence of God. In the judgment of the great white throne, the wicked shall call for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them. And the first attribute of God revealed to man was his holiness. When Isaiah had a vision of the Lord, he says, "Oh, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips." And another cried out, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Christ." Sinful beings shun the presence of divine holiness. And yet Jesus appears in the presence of God for us. And there's one other thought that sets forth a beautiful imagery of what the Lord is doing for us now. Namely, it's the offering of incense. The incense was a composition of several sweet spices. And twice a day, the priest, in not the holies of holies, but in the holy place, would present this incense before God as a sweet-smelling savor unto God. When burned, it gave out a fragrant odor. And on the annual Day of Atonement, the priest entered into the holies of holies with the incense. And with the golden scepter, he offered this incense into the divine presence. So Jesus is represented as offering much incense in a golden censer with the prayers of the saints. The incense represented are our prayers. God is pleased when we pray to him, when we bring our prayers up to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the meaning of such expressions of prayer in His name and for His name's sake. He obtains for our prayers a hearing, an acceptance before God, and favor in the presence of God. Now when the high priest finished his work back there in the Old Testament, the fire of God fell upon the altar in the mercy seat. And thus when the fire fell from heaven, the people knew that the prayers and intercession of that high priest back there accomplished what he went in to do. Their sins of ignorance were forgiven for another year. Likewise, the Holy Spirit descended to this earth after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ into heaven at God's right hand. And this shows that He is one, the one, who intercedes for us. One more point. Sorry, I thought that was the last point. One more. The approach to God is bold and safe. We, unholy beings, can come before God, and we come safely, without fear, knowing that our God wants to hear from us. People ask, why doesn't God do something in this terrible, terrible world that we are living in? I believe if it were not for the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ, the man at God's right hand, a rain of divine judgment would come upon this earth and replace this time of grace and mercy that our Lord extends to all. Because Christ's work, the judgment is stayed. Another benefit of the intercession of Christ is the general encouragement to prayer. Because we know that we have one up there who is interested in our prayers and wants to hear our thanksgiving, wants to hear our petitions, wants to have fellowship with us. That's an encouragement to us to pray and to pray more and to bring our petitions before Him. You see, Christ Jesus is the righteous one. And so today there are no legal barriers between us and God. We don't need a high priest as they had in the Old Testament to bring our petitions before God and to represent us. We have the Lord Jesus Christ to represent us today. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a high priest we have. That's a word of encouragement to prayer. Christ never forgets us. He said to His disciples, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the ages." And He's with us always. He lives to make intercession for us. He waits to hear the daily confessions of our sins so that He can give to us absolution and forgiveness of sins. He waits to sympathize with us in our hour of need, in our hour of trial. When we need grace and when we need help, He's there to offer that to each one of us. What a Savior we have. I trust that this little word this evening on our blessed Savior may have been encouraging to each one of you, that you may spend more time in prayer and be more thankful for what our Lord is doing for us now. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessed Savior who gave Himself for us. And we thank You that He is in heaven interceding for us. Help us to make much of the intercession of our Lord and to come boldly before the throne of grace through Him, that He may bring our petitions to Your throne in heaven and answer prayer for us. In Jesus' name.